Roger Waldron is president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, CGP submitting some comments on the draft request for proposal for the NS2020 Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions acquisition. Roger, thanks for being on the program today. What's the core, the very basic message that you had for GSA about NS2020? Thanks for coming on.
Well, first, thanks, Francis, for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to, always to talk about procurement issues. In a nutshell, the issue that our members are very concerned about is the restriction on competition through bundling of both mandatory telecom requirements and then a series of optional line items in the draft RFP for things like cloud computing that would unnecessarily restrict competition. And what I mean by that, and the way this the RFP is structured, is that in order, there are mandatory line items. Those mandatory line items are telecommunication services that are global in nature. There is only a handful, let's say, of companies that are capable of meeting those mandatory requirements. So, and you have to have those to be able to be eligible for award. And on top of that, the RFP then includes a series of optional items that you as a business can choose to bid for or not. And those include cloud services. There's a service-related equipment line item. There's other optional services. There's wireless that's optional and ComSatCom services that are optional as well. Data center services, that's another big one that companies are concerned about. So as a result of this, there's only a handful of companies who can get award based on the mandatory telecom requirements, and those handful of companies would be the only ones on this procurement who have the ability to compete for cloud services or data center services that are included as part of the procurement. And I understand GSA wants to provide the ability for customer agencies to combine telecom with cloud or data center, but that shouldn't be a restriction on entry into this particular contract. That is a very specific agency requirement that can be addressed at the task order level, rather than closing the door on the boatload of cloud providers and data center providers who could participate in this procurement. It shouldn't be limited to only one type of solution.
And I read this, I read your comments to say that you're concerned about this not just now, but in the future. You write, the draft RFP perpetuates an ongoing anti-competitive framework that limits future competition and future access to new technologies and services to the limited number of companies that receive an award for the EIS mandatory telecom services. So this is not just something you're worried about when this is awarded. It's for years to come,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah, that is the fundamental concern, that by setting up a gate at the beginning when you award the contract and the award is essentially limited to a small set of contractors who can then provide all these optional services as well as telecom services for subsequent task order competitions over a 10-year life of the contract, you've essentially created a very, very limited marketplace where these companies will be able to navigate and compete. But there's many cloud providers and data center providers, and there'll be changes in technology, and the government's ability to access those beyond just four companies or five companies or however many get the award here, which will be a small number because there's only a certain number of telecom companies capable of providing and meeting those requirements, mandatory requirements. You're limiting your access to the commercial marketplace for these other services through this contract vehicle. And on top of it, it duplicates what GSA already has in place or is contemplating putting in place. The Alliant contract has cloud services on it. The Alliant follow-on will as well. the GSA schedules include cloud, and GSA has been undergoing efforts to add a new cloud line item to IT Schedule 70. And GSA just recently put out an RFI seeking additional feedback on what type of cloud contract vehicle, government-wide vehicle, it should create next. And at the same time, they've got this telecom contract that includes all these cloud services. So, GSA talks a lot about contract duplication. Other agencies, it needs to look a little bit in-house.
You have a couple of conclusions and recommendations that you put in these comments, Roger. Roger Waldron is the president of the Coalition for Government Procurement and CGP submitting comments on the NS 2020 RFP. The first one is to restructure EIS to eliminate the mandatory nature of the telecom services. What's the benefit if that happens, Roger?
The benefit is it opens up the competition for the basic contract to companies who are companies that people think are traditional cloud providers or data center providers, so that customer agencies can have direct access through them. It provides more flexible solutions at the task order level. At the same time, telecom companies and those capable of providing those telecom services will be able to offer on the contract. I don't know if you can hear that in the background, but we've got, I think, the president or somebody going by here.
Well, I was worried the cops were coming to get you, Roger. That's all I was concerned about. Go ahead.
Not today. The telecommunications companies capable of meeting what are currently mandatory requirements would still be able to be part of the contract. And to the extent customer agencies wanted an integrated solution that included telecom and cloud and data center, they would still be able to do this under this contract. I mean, ideally, in our members' view, this is something that could be done through a GSA schedule type vehicle. We're talking commercial services fundamentally at their core. And we're talking information technology and access to that on an ongoing basis, as the schedules currently provide, with continuous open seasons where people can add product all the time or people can submit offers, I think would enhance access to technologies, whether it's telecom or cloud or data center, and meet the government's needs in a more efficient and effective way.
Well, the second recommendation you make is to rename the optional services as functional areas. Why does it make a difference what they call them, Roger?
It makes a difference. That goes with part with essentially the first recommendation. Allowing them to be functional areas would provide the ability for customers to focus on a particular area, decide whether they want to combine it with other areas. It'd be a clearer communication to customer agencies what's available on the contract, as opposed to optional services that may or may not actually be there. And by renaming them functional areas, you take out the language mandatory versus optional completely out of the RFP. That provides and opens access and sends the message that GSA is looking for companies across these very functional areas, these technology areas, and seeking their offers, their proposals, and want them to compete on the task orders moving forward.
The third one is including the telecom services on IT Schedule 70 or on Alliant 2. What difference will that make, Roger?
Well, that one, and these are a series of recommendations, and one may preclude the other. So, for example, if you added telecom to the GSA schedules, why would you need this particular procurement? Because you'd have all the services that are currently being sought by NS 2020 already on the GSA schedule. So would you even need this contract? And those other recommendations would fall away. The same would be true if you just used the Alliant vehicle and added telecom to that. Alliant includes essentially all the other services that are being contemplated on NS 2020. It includes cloud. It can include data center services already. So if you added telecom to that, why would you need to do NS 2020? It's an effort to essentially reduce, and a recommendation that we reduce contract duplication within GSA. And, you know, if you chose that one, you wouldn't have to do the first option I described. The functional area recommendation is tied to the idea of reworking NS2020 itself.
So the fourth one then, maybe this fits in that same area. The fourth one is to delete the optional services from EIS and look to pre-existing vehicles in the common acquisition platform hallways to facilitate meeting customer agency requirements. I mean, I guess if you really wanted to push it, if you followed this recommendation, you could just eliminate the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that recommendation is probably the least attractive, but it's something that we tried to lay out different options that they could consider through these recommendations. That one is probably the least attractive. That's why it's listed last. Providing, just a pure telecom contract. I mean, GSA does say that its customers want to do integrated solutions. If you chose that option, then you'd have to work with NS2020 and other contract vehicles to come up with an integrated solution across a portfolio. That's why the reference to the common acquisition platform that GSA is creating for information technology. It's not the most elegant solution, but, when you're talking about the Competition and Contracting Act and the anti-competitive nature of this particular procurement, that alternative, which would continue to foster overall competition, I think, it would still be a better solution. I mean, ultimately, again, it gets back to agency-specific requirements that can be addressed at a task order level. So the contract itself does not need to restrict competition. Agencies can make reasonable determinations of their minimum needs, articulate those needs, through their statements of work at the task order level, and have an integrated solution if they so choose. But that's at the requirements level. That's not at the contract level. That's our biggest concern about this. It's essentially closing a market to a host of providers across the commercial technology sector, cloud providers, other service providers that will not be able to participate in this particular procurement because of the mandatory nature of the telecommunications.